Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. For this week's episode, Megan and I wanted to pose a question to you guys, our audience, and then we'll talk through your answers and our answers. And the question that we posed was, do you think
you're living true to yourself?
Yes.
We've done two episodes, I think, like this before, where we've just posted an open-ended question. It's supposed to be just self-reflective and a little bit deeper. And then we just talk through your guys' answers, and then we share our answers. And you guys seem to have liked the past two, so here we are doing another one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any ideas for questions you think would be good to ask, or if you want to know what other people would say, then you should let us know in the comments below.
Give us some more prompts.
Otherwise, we were looking on a website of deep questions to ask yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was some of them were okay, and then a lot of them were not very good.
Yeah.
So
you guys would probably be better at, this is a podcast you want to listen to. What do you want to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
What questions do you want us to ask?
We'll obviously jump to answering that question later. We always have to start with our classic catch up, our book stuff, and our highlights, all that.
Everything in between. So my weekly spotlight is the fact that we got to hang out with Maggie this week. We technically, I think last time we recorded, she was in town, but I don't think we had brought it up. But Maggie was in town for an entire week. We got to see her a couple times, and it's just nice to have her around. I think we hadn't seen her since October, right?
Yeah.
So always fun seeing her, and we got to have some family get togethers. We had a brunch at our grandma's house yesterday, and so it was nice.
My weekly spotlight is that we are in the very, very beginning, early stages of creating a book club.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we were at the brunch yesterday. Maggie and Haley have known that Sierra and I want to do a book club. It's been mentioned multiple times at this point, but we just haven't.
It's the fear of starting.
And so yesterday, while we were there, we were talking with Maggie. We were talking about a book club, and we she was kind of helping us come up with who could we invite, who would be part of the book club. And we actually reached out to a couple of people yesterday to see and gauge interest. And so far we've got some people who are interested. And so I feel I have a hosting folder on my Pinterest now, not necessarily just for book clubs, but
Megan wants to host more this year.
I mentioned I want to host more things and kind of work on that a little bit. And so it's just getting me very excited. We have to figure out, I'm hoping to do it sometime in February.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think what I would like to do.
And our first book club, the plan is for it to not be everyone having read a book and then meeting. It's going to be an introduction. Everyone getting to know each other.
Don't know each other. Mm-hmm. We're going to be kind of pulling different people in from
different areas of life. And then we're going to take that time to pick a book to read initially.
So we were coming up with a list of possible options that because I feel with a book club, everyone can have such different tastes. And as soon as we start getting a better idea of what kind of books everyone does then maybe that'll lead us down a path of okay, we're all reading this book next. But I feel there is safer books / authors to at least pull into the pile of the initial vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of coming up with Freda McFadden. We haven't found a specific book, and I don't know if we will, but Ellen Hildebrand,
Kristen Hannah,
those are safe authors. And then we had a couple specific books, Remarkably Bright Creatures is just a fiction book that I know I read the summary at one point, but I don't remember what it's about. But one of you guys actually commented on our vlog recommending it to us. So that's what made me add it to my TBR. But I have since, I've seen it.
It's making the rounds.
I've seen it places. So that's on there. I have to pull my notes up, and I don't know if I will bother to do that. But we're going to, come up with a PowerPoint to, first we'll probably, have to set some ground rules. So it'll be, when do we want to meet, how often, all that. And I, at least for the first one, I kind of, this is what I say, I just want to, really, host, but I also need to not blow a whole budget when that's not necessary.
Yeah.
I am kind of people probably want to be it to be free, but if everyone even pitched in $5 towards little goodie bags, but I think that for the first meeting I'm just gonna do what I want on my own.
People for coming to the book club,
but I'm I kind of want to make goodie bags where people get a bookmark or something else. I have to figure out what else is out there. And then since we're not doing discussion of a book, I was wondering if there's an easy-ish crafty type of thing that we could do. So if you have a book club that you're in and you have ideas for fun things to do, mm-hmm. you could let me know. Otherwise, it'll probably just be like, we'll have like snacks and food and we'll do the
just hang out. So that should be fun. Looking forward to getting that started. And now that I've like actually like reached out to people, I'm like, okay, they are expecting something, like, mm-hmm. and they've already agreed initially to be like, I was like, are you interested in book club? And they're like, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I will reach out in a large group text in the near future is my response to them. So now that I've got some people, you know, in the loop, I'm like, okay, they're ready for book club. So I actually have, like, right now I have a thing for like stuff to do related to my New Year's goals and resolutions, like stuff I need to do in January to like kind of be on track. And one of it was make headway on the book club. So
good, that's stuff. Good.
I also have like planned basement, which we are also in the throes mm-hmm. of starting. So now I need to go to a local event and volunteer. I also like go on a date. That's not looking likely, but
for this month.
Yeah. That wasn't, I don't think a specific, I don't have a specific dating goal, but I was trying to just be like,
you know? Hinge has almost never been worse, I feel like, than it is right now. And I was like, isn't January, I thought we were supposed to like, I thought good things
get a new
were
batch.
Supposed to happen.
Yeah,
but I've been.
My Hinge has not been very good either. I need to start just going out and about. It's so cold though.
Don't feel like leaving. Yeah. Book updates. I'm finishing A Court of Silver Flames today, and I know I was reading that last week already, so I don't have much else to give you guys. I'm enjoying it. It's probably going to be 4 stars, and I listened to the first half on audiobook, and now this is the second half I've just been reading, so both have been, like, pretty enjoyable, though. So, and then, surprisingly, maybe, I don't know, I am planning on reading The Hobbit next, mostly because it's been on my TBR for a little bit. I think I originally added it because Haley Pham had mentioned, like, I think she gave it 5 stars, and she really liked it, and just, like, The Hobbit is a very likable character, I guess, so I don't know if I'm gonna, like, go into, like, the full Lord of the Rings series, but I do at least want to, like, see what The Hobbit is about, and I guess if I don't like it, I can always not finish it. I am not afraid to, like, not finish a book, so one thing about me.
I have finished A Court of Wings and Ruin. I always want to say War. I gave that one 4.5 stars. I'm still, like, not sure between A Court of Mist and Fury and A Court of Wings and Ruin, which one I like more. I rated them both 4.5 stars. But, I don't know. I need to, like, sit on it
inevitably,
a little bit
longer. Like, eventually one will
I think so.
Be your favorite.
Anyway, taking a break from the ACOTAR world right now, I'm reading Mostly Harmless, which is the 5th and final installment of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. I thought after being on that nice high from, you know, the first 3 books I read this year, I was like, okay, this would be a good time to actually, like, buckle down and finish this relatively short book that I just want to get off of my TBR and say that I finally finished the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. I personally probably wouldn't recommend it. The writing style is just very unique and different, and the stories are pretty hard to follow, in my opinion. But I bought the whole book.
I wouldn't
with the
really
whole
recommend it, but here I am finishing series. The final series.
I bought the whole book with all of the stories in it, and so I want to be able to finish it because we have this whole shelf that's got, like, our sci-fi fantasy stuff, and this is the only book on that shelf. And I'm like, I still have a book in there that I need to read. I'm finishing it today, probably. And then I think I'm going to read Mrs. Nash's Ashes next.
You'll have to let me know what you think of that one because, like, it'll decide whether I want to, like, take a break from fantasy-type stuff and then, like, circle back around. Mm-hmm.
And then I think after I finish Mrs. Nash's Ashes, I was going to maybe do Powerless. So.
We have officially bought Assassin's Blade and Throne of Glass. So, like, the series mm-hmm. is ready for us to begin. We just aren't quite sure when we want to start. I'm sure it'll be, like, soon.
Mm-hmm.
But how many books is that series? 8? I think it's 8 books.
Gosh, do you think I can name them? Assassin's Blade,
I've actually, like,
Throne
I've
of Glass.
More comfortable with this is probably not going to be in order. Queen of Shadows.
Crown of Midnight.
That sounds like one.
Crown of Midnight.
King of
Air of Fire.
Air of Fire.
Kingdom of Ash.
And then there's Empire of
Tower.
Storms, Tower of Dawn.
Tower of Dawn. Was that all of them? I don't even know how many.
Kingdom
how
of Ashes. Ash. How much did we do? Hold on.
Assassin's Blade. Throne of Glass. Crown of Midnight. Air of Fire.
Queen of Shadows.
Oh, I think Air of Fire is next.
Whatever.
Queen of Shadows. Tower of Dawn.
Empire of Storms. We're missing one.
Are we? Hmm. I'm honestly kind of impressed we got that far. Let me go to my Instagram or something.
Also, this might be a hot take, you guys, but since we're on, like, we're talking about Sarah J. Maas, I know a lot of people, when fantasy is their favorite genre, they like those specific, like, original publication covers or, like, whatever the more fantasy-type covers are. I am so happy they redid the covers to ACOTAR because I love the covers that they have now, and I think the other one is so ugly.
I swear we said all of these. Do we say Empire of Storms?
Yeah.
The Assassin's Blade, Throne of Glass, Crown of Midnight, Air of Fire, Queen of Shadows, Empire of Storms, Tower of Dawn, Kingdom of Ash.
Maybe we, I think we said all of them at one point, but I don't think we said them, like, we only got to seven fingers, and there's eight of them, but we did say all of them.
Yeah, maybe we just forgot one on the final count.
Kingdom of Ash, I don't think we said a final.
Okay, so, back to what you're saying about covers. I think that the current rendition of the covers is the best version of the covers, and I mean, that's probably, like,
I literally hate
a lot of people ones. Say, like, oh, I hate, like, the highlighter covers of ACOTAR. It doesn't fit the vibe of the book. And I'm like,
I don't care. I don't like better. The other covers.
The other covers are ugly. So Megan and I will
same
happily
with, like, Throne of Glass. I don't, like, I kind of know what the covers looked like originally, but, like, the new ones.
Oh, I do. They're
so much better.
Yeah.
I do not want, I don't like whatever style that is.
Yeah.
So not for me. I love the new covers.
Like, if it was the old covers, I would not be buying physical versions.
Nope.
One thing about me, if I'm buying a book, better I'm be going to like the cover. Otherwise, I will find some sort of online version that I'll read.
Anything else, book-wise or otherwise?
I don't think so.
I can't remember, in our other episodes that we've done, have we answered first, or do we read other people's answers first and then answer last?
I'd say let's answer first, and then we can always read other people's responses, and then if we want to, like, elaborate on our answers again.
Yeah, we can, like, then. We can say what we think originally without having anyone's thoughts or opinions
to sway us.
To sway us, and then if anyone else can bring up good points or whatever, or just expand our talking points, then we'll do that.
Okay, let us go.
When I was thinking of, like, my answer to this question, I honestly just, like, started writing a bunch of blurbs and, like, thoughts on a sticky note. Because it's, like, this is a hard, there's no just, like, answer to this question, I feel like. There could be, like, I mean, in theory, you could say yes or no. But
we want elaboration. So, just for context, the question that we posed was, am I living true to myself? Why or why not? Very open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I can start. But like I said, this is kind of like, I was just, like, typing on my notes app, and, like, whatever came to me came to me. Because it's, like, I don't have a specific, I feel like, yes or no answer. So I start off by saying, in a way, this question kind of feels like, what is the meaning of life? Like, a little bit. Because you're, like,
42.
Do you feel?
That's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference.
Oh. I was, like, I have no idea what you're saying. And questions like this, I feel like, can kind of make you start to spiral a little bit in terms of, like, you either say yes and you are like, I'm doing well and good, but I feel like most people, it depends on how you take a look at the question. Are you think, like, do you just feel like, am I generally content with my life and honest with who I am? You could say yes and, like, be done with it. But I feel like you could say, when you really think about it, a lot of people, most people, are probably going to start thinking, like, I could be doing something different. And so, in a way, no. So I was like, okay, what do I think?
With that in mind.
I feel like I started focusing, at least initially, and, like, I stray away from this a little bit at the end, but I feel like a lot of this comes down to, like, at least how I was taking this question, and I'm the one answering it. Am I living true to myself? I feel like a lot of times, and this goes with, like, 90% of people, but it's, like, you don't really choose or wish for a life where, like, you are going and working for someone else, like, for 80% of your time, and, like, you are not your job. And so, in a way, it's kind of like, I'm spending so much of my time. Am I being true to myself? Am I not? I'm like, I need to reference, like, what I was writing down, so hold on.
I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I feel like I get what you're saying, where if, you know, people didn't have to live and be part of the rat race to, like, make a living and survive,
like, would then we they all would be
probably
choosing,
be doing something different.
Exactly.
that would be quote unquote more true to themselves.
And so I feel like I said, anytime you work for the man, aka not yourself, you're probably going to be like, I'm not fully fulfilled with what I'm doing. And then I was like, how much weight do you put into who you are as a person versus your career? Are you your career? And like some jobs, like it's hard to separate the two. Like people who become doctors, like they kind of are their career. Like it's hard to separate. You are a doctor for your job, mm-hmm. and then you are you outside of your job, especially when it takes so much time to get there and like so much of your time is your job. Those are like special circumstances, but like certain professions, hopefully that means they
like highly like, identify with that career. Yeah. I don't think that anyone becomes a doctor without like some way, shape or form identifying like that is who I am, mm-hmm. you know, versus, you know, someone who's like a bank teller is probably like, yeah, I am a bank teller, but like I don't identify as like yeah. I'm a bank teller. Like yeah. this is my passion, my calling.
And so then I kind of like was thinking about, you know, myself specifically. Obviously, I'm a physical therapist. And I said, I don't think, like, I am not my career. I am a physical therapist, but, like, I do not identify solely as being a physical therapist. I relate to other physical therapists. I obviously chose to go to school to become a physical therapist. I'm working as a physical therapist, and I think I'm good at my job. And for the most part, I enjoy it, I would say. But, like, with every job, there are certain things that, like, you wish were a little different or you would tweak certain things. But I also, obviously, we've been on the internet for a long time. We've shown you guys our journey of how we got here. But, like, we have never, I felt like, tried to portray ourselves as, like, the internet PTs or, like, come to us for all physical therapy-related content. Like, that's right. just not who we are. And we feel more comfortable like presenting just ourselves and our personalities as I quote unquote our brand on the internet. And if you've found us through PT, because I see some people like I'll see people that follow me and like I'll if they have like DPT or like a program listed, I'm assuming they found me through physical therapy related content. But then also like I don't post a lot of physical therapy stuff, right. So hopefully you're not looking.
It's definitely, that. You know, the type of content that we post is more so we are physical therapists, but like here's our life, you know, surrounding that, related to that. Mm-hmm. But like this is not, for the most part, physical therapy content.
Mm-hmm. And so then you kind of mentioned this earlier of like if no one had to work, like no one probably would work. And so I said a lot of people probably relate to the sentiment of not wanting to labor or not wanting to do anything. And then. But then it's like, that's not very fulfilling either. We've even right. had periods of our life in between finding a job, finishing up boards, where like we quite literally had no responsibility.
I actually do think like to a certain extent, most people would say like I wouldn't want to work. But I think we saw this one TikTok where someone was like, you know, working from 9 to 2 or something would be like the most ideal circumstance. Because I do think to a certain point you want to feel accomplished and you want to feel like you're contributing to something. And that feeds into like your self-fulfillment of like I'm putting something out into the world and I'm making a difference mm-hmm. outside of myself. So I do think like, yeah, it might be nice, you know, if I could just like quit my job and like do nothing for a period of time, it would feel nice initially, but then I'd probably be like, well, I'm getting kind of bored mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm not doing anything. Does everyone want to work 40 hours a week? And I know people work way more than that too, so I'm not trying to complain, but like most people would probably be totally fine working like a limited number of hours
or whatever. And then I started kind of thinking about in the world of comparison where everyone's like comparing themselves to the other people they're seeing online. I feel like if you see people who are like, they basically travel full time or they, whether it's like, they don't have to be like a content creator, but like maybe like there's people that like travel the world and like pick up odd jobs and like, that's just like, that's what they do. And I think you see those people and a lot of people collectively agree that like traveling is a fulfilling experience and something worth making time for throughout your life. Like it's a very valuable thing. And so I think a lot of people, when they see people who are doing that, they're kind of like, they've got it figured out. And like,
but then they don't show the behind the scenes of their days off when they're like working. And like, I've heard that's very like grueling, you know, not fun, not glamorous.
And so it's like that in theory sounds really fun. Or like the 9-month cruise is going on. Those people are just like, not all of them are off of work. Some people are working remote on the cruise, but it's like, they're just on a 9-month hiatus and like doing that. But then you kind of have to like, you're comparing yourself just like the ideals of what that situation presents. Then you have to like circle back and think about yourself again. I know I love traveling just as much as the next person. I think it's very fun. I know after like a week of traveling, I am ready to be home. I am ready to be done traveling. I am ready to be back in a place where I am comfortable and I kind of have like a set schedule. And it's like, can you imagine being those people who are traveling all the time and like nothing's really the same, which is probably exciting and works for some people, but like nothing is the same. And every day you kind of don't know what's happening or what's going on. And you have to be very flexible and adaptable, which I think I could manage for short periods of time. But like, it's not like me traveling the world full time is like, that wouldn't be very true to myself either. I know I wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Even I can think back to when we were traveling in Europe and we were in Switzerland and France and Monaco. And I was like having a great time. But it got to a point where it was like towards the end, because that was a 10-day trip. I was like, I am ready to go home. I feel like that was also our first like truly international trip where it was like a language barrier and mm-hmm. stuff. And so I was just like overwhelmed. And I was like, I'm ready to like return to what I know. And so maybe if I go somewhere in the future, also like that has a language barrier, having already experienced that, it won't be quite as overwhelming. But I did feel like that sense of just like, I want my familiarity back. I'm ready to go home.
My next thought then was kind of circling back to like actually trying to answer this question, I guess. Like after I had all those initial thoughts, I was like, okay, so like answer the question. Let me see where I'm at. Okay, so my take on this question is that I feel like you should always be reevaluating your wants and your needs and do your best to make those happen. I feel like humans are complex. Our wants and needs are always changing. What we value might be one thing today and it might be something else a week from now, a month from now, whatever. And I feel like you just need to make sure that you're reflective enough and saying, do I need to make a change? Whether that's a career change, a vacation change, just anything. Like if something needs to be changed so you can actually take actionable steps to make that happen and continue to live true to yourself. So I also feel like day to day, like we were talking about, most of us can't escape like the quote unquote 9-to-5 needing to work for someone else. Like we have to make a living. We have to have money to do things to fill our cup up outside of work. Like a lot of those things you're going to need to like have money to be able to do. And so I feel like you're going to be more fulfilled and feel like you're living true to yourself if you're doing something like a couple of days a week outside of work where you've got something to look forward to or something going on, or just finding like small things to fill your cup up every day or most days.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, when it comes to answering this question, to feel like I'm living true to myself, obviously, like, you know, we've bashed on like the 9-to-5 stuff, but like finding a career that you do in some ways like identify as like, this is a part of me. I do feel like I found a career that like I didn't just like choose to like get a job. I had mm-hmm. to like obviously go to extra school for it. It was something that I was interested in. And it's something that I do feel like I'm making a difference. And so in that sense, mm-hmm. like I do feel like I'm proud to say that I'm a physical therapist. I know some people like don't feel pride necessarily when they mm-hmm. like say their job. So I do like, I'm proud of that. I'm proud to like own that title. And like when I go to work, I feel like I'm helping people. And so while like having a job is not always like the most fun thing or like there's difficult parts of it, I do feel like I own my 9-to-5 part of my life. And I feel fulfilled doing it. I feel like I'm true to myself and my own like interests when I'm doing that line of work. But then like you said, okay, we've got that covered. Outside of work now, what am I doing to stay true to myself or feel like I'm fulfilling myself? You know, we love trivia. I identify as someone who like loves trivia, loves learning, just like, you know, finding those hobbies or like starting a book club. Mm-hmm. We love to read. We love books. We love to connect with people about books. Like, I think that the more we start implementing that,
and the more you're outside of school, like you kind of have the time to identify what it is and like cultivate your interests a little bit more, because like in school, like a lot of people are just like trying to get through school and like mm-hmm. have some fun outside of that, but you're not really like cultivating your hobbies or trying to figure out what it is outside of school or outside of your career that's most valuable to you, because you're so focused on just growing into your career at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like after you graduate is when you're trying to be like, what am I outside of this?
Yeah. And so I think that the more I'm finding those things that I identify with, and the more I'm cultivating like ways to like partake mm-hmm. in those hobbies, or like,
and you can even find like communities online too, mm-hmm. or like the media you interact with, like that's going to shape who you are and your interests too.
So that side of things has been very fulfilling to me, but I still feel like I'm in like the process yeah. of like creating that stuff, but like I'm very happy with like starting it at least.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like I'm literally not even quite a year into my career, so like I would not be doing this anytime soon, but I do think a lot of people should, like, if you feel like you're at kind of a crossroads with your life or your interests, or let's say like you're feeling the need to kind of like go on a hiatus, like a lot of companies have that type of leave like in their policies to some extent, of like extended leave or hiatus type stuff. Like I could see myself at some point in my life, I mean, some people might do this just like between jobs anyways, like if they're kind of wanting to change a job, they'll like take a gap of time anyways, mm-hmm. but like if you're not planning on like leaving your job, a lot of companies do offer some type of policy on like what that would look like. So I don't know, I could see myself doing that at some point, because like at the end of the day, it's your life.
We've even talked about like the beauty of, obviously, like, you know, healthcare and some other careers have more flexibility in this, but like going part-time or PRN, and then like if you get a different job, or like you do something to like fill up your time otherwise, then like mm-hmm. maybe you'll find another way to be fulfilled in that sense.
Yeah, that was like, that was my jumbled thought process on answering the question.
Yeah, mine as well. Overall, short answer, I feel like I'm living true to myself. I try not to make decisions or choices based off of like how others would perceive me. I think I do a good job of doing what I want to do because I want to do it, and not because either society or like family or friends are like pressuring me to do something. Okay, so now that we have kind of answered our jumbled up thoughts, we're going to share some of your guys' responses. So I have, someone's pulled up here. We're not going to share any names or anything, just because, you know, we didn't disclose if we would or would not. And some people might want this to be private. Someone responded, I think so. And although there are definitely things I'm still working on to help me feel more like myself, I think the past year has really helped me settle into my own skin. I'm a second year student in college, so I think learning how I function on my own, but also having to balance school and life has been beneficial in staying true to myself, if that makes sense. I think college is a great time. Yeah. Like we obviously talked about after school and after that, like that's when you find yourself, but there are different stages of life where you have to find yourself. I feel
like when you're also like kind of busier, you have to, like if you're busy with some things that might be a little bit draining, such as school, you have to find the other things to fill up your cup, because like that's going to keep you going. Mm-hmm. So I remember like in school, like especially, not that like I kind of always live by this mantra of like I always like to have something to look forward to, mm-hmm. but in school it was like I needed something to look forward to. It was as small as like, it's, we got Thursday movie night coming up, mm-hmm. or whatever, because we would usually, not usually, but like a lot of times we might go to a movie on Thursday night and just like have something to do. So
yeah, and I think that like when you're in college, especially like first year is hard for anyone, just with that huge shift of you're in a new place, in a new environment, different challenges that you weren't having to deal with, you know, when you were in high school. You certainly have to find yourself and have to like be more in charge of yourself and like take the onus and ownership of like your responsibilities, because now you don't have, you know, mom or dad to like force you to clean your room or like do your homework. You're definitely, you are in charge of yourself for potentially like, you know, the first time in your life of, okay, it's solely me that's going to make sure I get this done. And are you like fulfilling your obligations, your responsibilities? Because, you know, as much fun as it is when you go to college to like say, I don't, you know, have to worry about what anyone says, the older you get, the more you start to realize, oh, like people rely on me for stuff and I can't just like push stuff off to the side. You have to like start finding out how to fulfill your obligations, but then also like make time for yourself, because mm-hmm. you can't, unfortunately, get rid of one. You have to deal with both.
Yeah. I'm starting off, these are going to be like shorter ones just because I'm starting off with like the Instagram box thing. You can only type so many words. So these ones are short ones, but someone said, yes, I am being true to myself because I've been trying to get myself out more. Someone said, oftentimes I feel like I put a hold on myself because I'm scared of what other people think.
I relate to that. Which can
definitely be very true. And if you're kind of a people pleaser or someone who values other people's opinion of you a lot, then it's hard to sometimes distinguish what you're doing to please other people versus like what you actually want to do. Sometimes they overlap, mm-hmm. sometimes they don't. Sometimes you're not really thinking about if they overlap.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can relate to this. Like, there are, I think, even just talking about like the book club stuff and like wanting to like just go out and meet more people and like get more involved in that kind of stuff, there is like that fear holding me back sometimes of like, I just don't know how to do it, or like I haven't done this before, and so it makes me uncomfortable to like try something new, even though it's what I desire to do. There's like this outside pressure or force and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it though, like I'm scared. Okay, next one I have. Someone said, I'm currently not living true to myself. I found out I'm trans almost 2 years ago, but due to my work in the military, non-US, it's hard to come out and seek treatment. When I come out, I know a lot of stigmas apply to me and I'll be looked down upon. Also, because I'm still in training, transitioning now will make it harder to study and complete training. So I'm dealing with I'm dealing with repressing part of myself in order to not have to deal with being openly trans. I was wondering if you're going to get like any responses, either like just like LGBTQ stuff,
mm-hmm.
if you're not openly out in whatever way you
that'd be hard.
Feel that you need to be. I unfortunately don't have any advice for you, but I do feel for you, and I hope that at some point in the future you're in a position where it's okay and comfortable for you to come out and be your true self, because life is too short to be anything mm-hmm. than be anything other than what you feel you should be.
Okay, this one, I think her answer got cut off a little bit because it's only the short text box, like I said, but I'll read what she said anyways.
And then we'll just guess.
So she said, honestly, no, I've been acting so trashy lately, but in a weird place where my life is together is the word it looks like she's typing, saying that I can't see anything else. And I tried to look in the DMs to see if there was more there, but she's just having an interesting off time, I guess.
You know, that happens. Sometimes you're just in a funky
or sometimes something state happens, of life. Like circumstantially mm-hmm. to you, or a situation where like
you don't even know how to respond.
Isn't maybe like what you're intending for it to be. And you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Okay. Did you have something else for that one?
I mean, I just, not for that one specifically, but I have other short ones I could.
Okay, you can do another short one.
Someone said, no, because I keep letting people overstep my boundaries. I can't be unless I'm near the beach, and I don't live at the beach anymore, so no.
That's so funny. You need to move.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a longer one. Someone said, this is such a hard question, but I don't think I necessarily am. I feel like I consistently find myself hiding parts of who I am to others around me, whether that's be due to embarrassment or lack of confidence or comparison. I feel like by design, we as humans consistently change, and sometimes those changes that ICE and myself, I don't know if that's a typo, aren't positive ones, and therefore I try to minimize those parts of myself to others, or to better others around me in my own perception. Definitely a tough question that got me thinking. I do think in some way, this isn't necessarily code switching, but
I have like a reflective thought I can share. Like, I don't know if this is related at all, but you can finish your thought.
I, from what you were typing, it reminded me of like, there are ways in which people will like change how they interact or respond to others based off their environment. Obviously, who you are at work versus who you are around family versus who you are around your partner versus your friends. In some way, shape, or form, you are operating through a different lens for each of those situations. I don't know a single person, and it's very rare that someone can truly be 100% themselves in all of those scenarios, because most of the time it wouldn't be seen as like appropriate for the setting that you're in. And so the idea is like, are you able to interact where you're still true to yourself, but through that lens of like what you need to be? And I think that can be a hard thing to navigate. Mm-hmm. Like, am I, like if you're a teacher, like, am I a teacher and like I'm just putting on my teacher lens and like being someone completely different from who I am at home? Or am I saying, okay, this is who I am. I'm going to work now. So I need to just like act in a way that's appropriate for me to act as a teacher, but I'm still myself at like my core.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some people have mastered that. And it's like, you can see like, oh, like this is who this person is, like no matter which area of life they're operating in, versus like, oh, like you're completely different, like outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fully know, like, I feel like I operate, you know, true to myself at work versus at home, but I know I'm not the same person.
Yeah. I feel like I was going to bring up, so, like, this past week, I went to dinner with, like, some of my coworkers, and, I mean, I know all of my coworkers. I interact with them, like, on a daily basis, and, like, I don't feel like I am not myself, like, there, but, like, just generally speaking, I am, like, a more introverted person. Like, I have no problem talking to my coworkers, but, like, I'm definitely more of like
you sit a back and observe
than like a contributor. And so I don't necessarily think this was like a good or bad thing per se, but like I noticed like halfway through the dinner that it was like I've really been mostly just like listening.
I have noticed that too.
And like I'm not really I love like to contributing. Listen. And like to me, like I wasn't actively thinking like I need to figure out where to jump in this conversation. Like conversations were happening. I was just listening, trying to, you know, listen to what they were talking about. And I was like, should I be contributing a little bit more? Like, but I mean, some of the things they were talking about, like, I had nothing to contribute. So, like, I don't know. Like, I have something to contribute.
I can't think of a specific example, but, like, I have for sure noticed there have been situations where, like, I'm in a group setting and I'm totally fine.
I'm like,
But then, like, talking. I just don't even think about, like, oh, I haven't said anything.
Yeah.
Maybe that's off-putting for them. They're like, and did you want to say anything? But I'm just like, I have no thoughts.
I have no thoughts. I'm just
no thoughts. Head enjoy. Empty. Just enjoying your guys' conversation. So. Without contributing myself.
No, I should
get better about that because, like, obviously, they're probably like, and if you wanted to say
like, if everyone there was like trying to do what I was doing,
yeah,
we would not have a fruitful conversation. Yeah.
So, self reflection, something to keep in mind.
I need to like jump into the DMs now.
Okay, someone said, I feel like yes, I am living true to myself because I have stopped doing things that I don't want to do. Just for the sake of people, I've started focusing on what I want to do each week and what I can do to better myself. That's a good one. Like, you see, like, you might have, like, gotten these obligations kind of put upon you as, like, oh, like, you know, you can come to this or, like, do this. And then after a while, you're like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to do these other things. And so then, like, it's good that you have found the opportunity to, like, switch out. Like, I don't want to do that. That's not fulfilling to me. I will take on these other things or obligations or hobbies or whatever you want to do. To then feel like you're living more true to yourself. Life is too short to not live true to yourself.
Someone said, yes, I am unapologetically myself. I remind myself that if someone doesn't like that / like my authentic being, then they probably aren't someone I want in my close circle anyways. I feel like there's always like, I'm glad you have that figured out and like live true to that. But like, it's one of those things where just like you hear it all the time, but it's hard to actually do because especially if you're someone who is a people pleaser, like you are ready to shape and mold yourself in any way necessary to make it so that everyone likes you, even though that may not be who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm. I have tried to remind myself, and I don't think I have to, like, bend and twist and shape myself too much, but I do think I am a people pleaser, and so, like, I'll try and diminish, like, potentially, like, my certain needs or wants if it's, like, a small enough change where it's, like, I'm not going to make a huge change of, like, okay, that's truly, like, not what I want to do. But if it's, like, a small, like, little, like, okay, like, whatever, like, I feel like I can be a little bit of a pushover in that sense. And it's not always bad. Like, sometimes it's good to be flexible. But I applaud you for just, like, saying, this is who I am. This is what I want. I'm not bending or twisting. I
feel like, as long as this applies to, like, things that, like, are for you and, like, only you, there are certain situations where, like,
you gotta bend a little.
Like, if it's to help someone else out or if it's to, like, if there's other thoughts and people to consider, like, certain flexibility should be allowed, or like there are certain hills not to die on, where I don't have like a specific example right now, but it's just like if someone were to like be like, I am being so true to myself that like I am not doing that just for the sake of like they don't
I
want
have
to do that.
Organized Monday night spa nights for myself. I am not coming to your birthday party. I'd be like, okay, be a little flexible.
Yeah,
like my random
my
thought
Monday
that I had.
Night spa nights.
Okay. Someone said, I just took a new job and start on Monday. It's a big career shift and I'm nervous, but I like to think I'm living true to myself by taking a chance and giving it a shot.
Yeah.
I like that one. If you're not feeling fulfilled in your career, and
a career shift can be very scary.
Yes.
Because, like, you have put all of your time and effort and, like, quote unquote, put your eggs into one basket. And then to be able to, like, genuinely reflect with yourself to say, like, I don't think this is going to be for me long term, and to be ready to take the leap and the risk of starting something new with kind of like, you don't know if it's going to be the thing that works out for you either.
But you can always say, at least you tried.
Yeah.
If you didn't, then you would probably be like, I wonder like what would have happened if I would have made that like career jump. At least this way you can do it. Maybe it'll be amazing. Maybe you'll say, you know what? This wasn't it either. So I'm going to do something else. But you at least will have done it and you'll know like what the consequences or like the result was. But again, sometimes making that first step. At the end
of the day, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result
is the definition of insanity, supposedly said by Albert Einstein.
This person said, yes, at the end of the day, I always come back to this. At the end of the day, it really is you and only you. Am I creating the life I want for myself? And am I using the gifts God gave me to help others?
Good for you. Is there any other, I think we have a couple of like DMs in our actual DMs. Okay. Someone said, I think I am.
This is interesting because we kind of talked about this earlier. You can go first.
I think I am. I know what I want in this stage of my life, and I'm actively working towards it. I'm making my happiness a priority. I've been focusing on hobbies that make my free time feel meaningful. The friends that I have the same important morals as I do. Though I am currently single and I'm actively looking into being in a relationship, dating apps, I'm not forcing something or continuing to go out with people who I don't feel a genuine connection with. I think the most important thing is that I'm happy with who I am currently, what I do, and the decisions I make. Looking forward to this episode. Girly, I feel like I could have written that. Like, I also feel... and I'm fortunate enough to say this, but I feel like in such a good, happy, content place in life right now. And like, I like the dating stuff too. I can relate to, like, I've got friends that I'm trying to focus on, family relationships that I'm trying to cultivate. I'm single, but like, I'm like kind of looking for a relationship. Like, I'm not trying to force anything. Like, I'm just trying to enjoy. Yeah.
You could always find someone to be in a relationship with.
It's always going to be an option. Someone will be out there.
But you want to find like your person.
Yeah. And so like, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm open to dating. I think that dating can be like a fun stage of life to be in, like, you know, going on dates and like meeting different people. It's not been very fruitful thus far. I haven't even met that many people, but like, I'm fine not being in a committed relationship right now. I'm not looking to get married anytime soon. So
this person said, no, but I'm fine with that. I love medicine and I love dance, but I know being a doctor is the more practical approach. I love my job as a career, but dance is still my passion.
Interesting.
So we were just talking about that. Honestly, depending on the type of doctor you want to be, this can make more or less sense. And I don't know what type of doctor they want to be. But, like, if you're someone who's willing to put in, like, hard work and you're like, I can get through medical school. I know I can do that. You're guaranteeing yourself, especially if you're someone who's going to plan on being, like, family medicine. Not to say that that's easy. I'm just saying, like, there are easier and less difficult or rigorous residencies than others. Surgeons, neurosurgeons better freaking identify as being a neurosurgeon, okay? They better be able to say,
like, eat, sleep, breathe.
I am not wanting to do anything else with my life if I can't do this. That's the level I feel like they need to be at, because you're dedicating 15 years of your life to that.
Versus training. Like, you have to then become a neurosurgeon.
Yeah. Versus if you were trying to be like a family medicine doctor, like, that's going to be likely very regular hours, not that long of training. Like, it's all bearable stuff to then say, I have a very steady job that's going to provide for myself and my maybe future family or what have you. And like, at the end of the day, a job doesn't always have to be your passion. If you're good at it, if you enjoy it enough to obviously go through medical school, you can still have a life outside of work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next DM, someone said, yes, changed jobs recently after 17 years of working for the same agency since I finished university. I found my passion and love for my career / work again. MH is good, and I honestly love all areas of my life. I don't know what that stands for. I don't dread going to work. No Sunday scaries or wishing time off was longer. I have a good life / work balance. I love my husband and our life together. Amazing.
I think at the end of the day, what this question kind of like begs or is asking is like, do you have good work-life balance?
At the end of the
day. Maybe not exactly the same, but like,
I mean, like, given that, like, two areas of your life, work and then like life outside of work, right? And are those two, do you feel fulfilled at both?
Yeah.
Sometimes people try to compensate for like, oh, I hate my job, so then like they just focus all their time outside of work. And I have seen the argument of like people saying you don't have to love your job, and you don't have to, but I certainly think life is a lot more bearable when you kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to spend 40 hours a week doing it,
I would agree.
And then it's the people you spend your time with. Are you having good relationships? Even like at work, do you enjoy your coworkers? That can be a huge like make or break thing for a job. Like, people can hate their job and then like love their coworkers, and like all of a sudden work is a lot more bearable. So,
mm-hmm.
And then like, do you have your friendships, family, significant others? Are they supporting you? Are they the people you like want to be around? Or are you in like in a toxic relationship with any of those people? Do you need to see your way out of some of those friendships, relationships? And I don't feel like I have really any toxic relationships that I'm surrounded with at this moment. Mm-hmm. And I hope to continue that.
I think we went through everyone's responses.
Well, thank you to everyone who did respond, especially those who, like, opened up and kind of, you know, we didn't, like, share, you know, your personal information, but you, you know, responded to us. And so that means a lot to us that you trust us with that information.
Yeah, especially because it helps us, obviously, be able to make this episode. And so hopefully you guys found people's answers insightful or at the very least interesting. And hopefully this was just a nice reflective episode and you were able to gather something from it or get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, that's all we have for this week. If you guys watch us on YouTube, feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's just According to Podcast or something. You can find it if you type us in. Leave a comment if you have your own thoughts that you want to share, or if you didn't get the chance to, like, respond to, like, our DM or story post, you can share your own answer to the post in the comments.
Otherwise, we will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Bye.